I would like to turn your attention to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we're going to be in verses 12 through 30. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. So in a world filled with darkness, pain, suffering, death, despair, there's always a need for hope. There's a need for life, for a word of encouragement. There's a need for Christ, the light of the world, to shine bright in our hearts. And see, Jesus spoke these words to us and to them for this very reason. He came into a dark place and he spoke words of life, life-giving words of light to the nations. That's why Jesus spoke the words that we're about to read, and it's why I'm preaching this text this morning, that you might see the light that is Jesus Christ and live. And so let us go to our passage this morning, John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30, and you can find that on page 757 of your pew Bible. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." Verse 16. "Even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said to him, "Will he kill himself since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." 24. He said to them, "You are from below. I am from below or above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he said these things, many believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to start out by giving us a little bit of context. As you heard in this passage, Jesus is once again having a discourse. We could even call it a dispute with the Pharisees. He is declaring who he is. And that's the whole emphasis behind the series that we're doing leading up to Christmas in this season that we call Advent, Jesus' first coming. We are letting Jesus declare to us who he is. And that's what he's doing here. But in this kind of dispute, the Pharisees and the crowds, they're not understanding what Jesus is telling them. They will not understand, and they will not believe. Jesus says in verse 24, "Unless you believe that I am he," literally, "that I am, that they will die in their sins." So in this passage, we have a picture of a people passing from death to life. In verse 30, we noted that many of them heard what he said and believed. In that moment, there were dead people who went from death to life. That's what we're seeing in this passage. But if they believe Jesus is who he says he is, they will not die in their sins. Their sins will be forgiven, and their sins will not be held against them. They will be where Jesus is the moment they die. So that's what this passage is getting at. That's the central thrust. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, you will not die in your sins. They will be covered, and you will be with Jesus the moment that you die. In fact, you are with him even now as his spirit indwells you. Yet, if you do not believe, you will die in your sins, and you will suffer eternally. So that's what's at stake here today. It doesn't get much more serious than that. There are eternal consequences to how you respond here today. And make no mistake, the moment you walk out this door, you will have responded. To respond in the positive, to repent and believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the light of the world, is a response. A no is a negative response, and a non-response is a no. So here you are. This is what's at stake here today, on this Lord's Day, this first day of the Advent season. So, but that's the beauty of it. It's weighty, but it's hopeful. Today, you can believe that Jesus is who he says he is. You can hear the word of Christ and respond in repentance and faith. You can have walked in here, an unbeliever, dead in your sins and trespasses, and you can walk out of here, a believer, raised to walk in newness of life. Friends, that's good news. Okay, so I want to bring us to this life-giving statement. Look at verse 12. Because this is really kind of the launch pad for the rest of what's about to happen. Verse 12. Again, Jesus said to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, this is a life-giving statement. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. This changes everything. You can't hear this and ever be the same again. Because you're either going to respond to this favorably or you're going to respond to it negatively. But it's an amazing statement. To walk with Jesus is to have life. To be united to Christ is to have the light of life. So that's what I want to say to you today. If you walk with Jesus, you get Jesus. That is the gospel. It says here, whoever follows me will have the light of life. That is good news, ladies and gentlemen. The gospel is not just information that you hear. It's not just a head knowledge. It's having as your own possession by Christ's work on the cross, his life, death, and resurrection, that you get him. The gospel is not, if we follow Jesus, everything's going to work out according to our plans. Everything's going to be perfect. I'm going to have money. I'm going to have health. My children are going to be good little kids. And everything's going to work out fine. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that if you follow him, you get him. And he is enough no matter what circumstance comes. That is the good news. You get Jesus. And we see a connection here between Jesus being the light of the world and him being the light of life. In our reading this morning, you heard in John 1:4, in him, that is Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. There is a direct connection between Jesus being the light of the world and his being the life of the world. To walk with Jesus is to have the light of life. Now, let's unpack this statement, the light of the world, just a little bit more. Does this phrase, the light of the world, that Jesus is the light of the world, what does that mean, of the world? It cannot mean that there is no darkness in the world. That would make the Bible untrue if that's what it meant. But that's not what it means. If whoever walks with Jesus does not walk in darkness, by necessity, to not walk with Jesus is to walk in darkness. There is light and there is darkness. If you are not walking with Jesus, you are walking in the dark. And as we have this connection between light and life, there is a connection between darkness and death. This is a theme that runs all the way through John's gospel. Night, darkness are associated with evil, death, and sin. Light is associated with life and the light of the world, to walk in newness of life with Christ. So there is darkness, brokenness, and rebellion against God in the world. Friends, we see this out there. But more importantly, far more importantly, we see this in here. Even though we've been raised to walk in the newness of life, we are still fighting indwelling sin. There is residual darkness that lives right in here. And if you're honest with yourself, you know this. You know the darkness of your own heart. No one lies to you more than you lie to you. I've done too much to have mercy. I've sinned too far for God to forgive me. God would not forgive an evil person like me. We've been taunted. We've heard those taunts in the darkness. I mean, I could be alone here, but I think that speaks across the congregation. But then that's one side of it. The other side of it is, I don't want to submit to this Jesus. Who are you, Jesus, to tell me how I ought to live my life? I am my own person. I can make decisions. I can determine my destiny. So we still have this battle raging. And it's by the Spirit of Christ that indwells us that we put off this. So Jesus has not yet vanquished all darkness from the world. That day is coming, rest assured. But right now, if you do not walk with Christ, if we do not walk with Him, we are walking in darkness, and at present you are dead in your sins and your trespasses. Ephesians 2. The darkness in this world and our hearts, or I should say, the darkness is this world, and the sin that remains in our hearts. That is the residual darkness that indwells us and indwells the world. But there is a day coming when the light of the world will break through and cover everything as the waters cover the seas. Have you ever pondered that phrase, as the waters cover the seas? I've never seen a part of the sea that was not water. One day, the day will come when this light will break forth, and that will be in the new heavens and the new earth, and that day is coming. Christ, who came 2,000 years ago, will come again in a day marked in the heavenly places that we do not know, but we do know that it is coming, and this light will break through and be shining as it has never shined before. But Jesus is the light of this world. What does this mean? I think four things we can know for sure that it means. Apart from Jesus, there is no light. If there is light in this world, if there is light to be had, it must be had with Jesus. Second, it means the whole world and all the people in it need this light. There is not one person or space that does not need the light of Christ. That's in part our burden with Lottie Moon, is taking this light of Christ to the nations. Every time I read these reports and hear, there's disputes about the number, but it's at least 4,000 groups of people who have never heard the name of Jesus. This isn't that they've heard and rejected, it's that they've never even heard the name. It was over Thanksgiving, one of our brothers was martyred trying to get to an island of a people group who had never seen the gospel, and with Bible in hand, an arrow thrust through his side. And sure, we're sad for the loss, but we praise the fact that he was willing to take this light. And even before he was killed, he wrote in his journal, do not hate these people if they kill me. Pray for them. Pray for them. That's how we respond when this light has shined forth in our hearts. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who curse you. Bless and do not revile. Mr. Chow had the light of life, and he tried to take it into the darkness. So the whole world and everything in it needs this light. Third, Jesus is not just an illustration of the light. It's his very being. He is the light of the world. The world itself was made to reflect this light. The very reason you are sitting here today is to reflect the light of your Creator. John Calvin, the reformer in Geneva, said that the earth is the theater of God's glory. The whole reason creation came into being, ladies and gentlemen, was to reflect and show forth the glory and grandeur of God. And this was made supremely eminent in the incarnation, in the person and work of His Son, Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then fourth, one day this light will fill the earth as the waters cover the seas. Everything will shine in the radiance of the glory of Christ. Do you remember when Jesus would call hell outer darkness? Outer darkness. It's not that God is not omnipresent in hell, but it is the absolute absence of the light, the life, the grace of God. That's why hell is outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth will take place there. Why? Because there will not be one iota of grace present in that place. That's why hell is outer darkness. Now, Jesus is the light of the world, but why? When reading our Bible, we need to ask it questions, not to put the Bible on our standards, but to glean forth what it teaches us. Why is Jesus the light of the world? Or how is it that he is the light of the world? I got three reasons that are present in this passage. First, Jesus is the light of the world because of his relationship to God the Father. Jesus is the light of the world because of his relationship to God the Father. Now, as we walk through the rest of this passage, you're going to see this relationship. Because it appears that Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world, but then for the next 29 verses, we never hear the phrase light again. That would appear like a detour, but it's not a detour. Jesus, when others try to lead him on a outside of what he's trying to accomplish, he just keeps it right on going, but he does it in his own way. Look at this. Jesus is the light of the world because of his relationship to the Father. At verse 12 and verse 30, we see this. So he starts with Jesus, I am the light of the world. And then in verse 30, we hear, many heard these words and believed. So Jesus got right to where he began, was for people to hear the word of Christ and believe. And notice in this passage, there are no miracles. Jesus did not raise anyone from the dead. He didn't turn water into wine. He didn't heal a soul. He didn't heal a person. He healed souls, but he did not physically heal a person, right? So There's no miraculous going on in terms of what we're used to seeing, but what we do see is the miraculous regeneration of the human heart. We see the new birth illustrated. And what caused this new birth? The Word of Christ, the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what we see here. Jesus is the light of the world because of his relationship to God the Father. Here it is. Jesus is the light of the world because of union with his Father. First, Jesus is sent by God the Father. Jesus is the light because he's sent by God the Father. Verse 16. I'm in Isaiah. Although I could probably preach this from Isaiah. 16. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone, but I and the Father who sent me. Jesus is the light of the world because he was sent on mission to ransom people from themselves. He was sent by the Father. That makes him light of the world. Second, God the Father bears witness to his Son. This union and relationship with the Father and the Son that was present in eternity past. Just go ahead and meditate on that for a minute. This perfect union from the past, the Father bears witness to his Son. In verse 17, we see this in our passage. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, so that's one, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Jesus is the light of the world because the Father bears witness to him. It does not get any more real than Jesus of Nazareth. And we see this, this is not the first time we've heard of the Father bearing witness to the Son. In John 1, 32 through 34, we see the Holy Spirit bearing witness to the Son. When the Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form, like a dove, it was not a dove, like a dove, when the Spirit descended and rested and stayed upon Jesus, the witness, or the Spirit was bearing witness to the Son. This is the Messiah. This is the anointed one. And then also the Father told John the Baptist, the one whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one who will baptize with the Spirit. And in the other gospel accounts, it gets even clearer. This is my beloved Son. What did he say to do? Listen to him. The Father bears witness to the Son. Third, Jesus is the light of life because of his absolute unity with God the Father. In verse 19, let's read that. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Jesus says to them, if you knew who I was, you would know the Father. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To know the Father is to know Jesus. Jesus and the Father are so united that if you know one, you by default know the other. This is so important in our day of New Age spirituality. Go ask anyone, are you a Christian? No, I'm spiritual. Well, what's that mean? Oh, I believe in God. Well, who's God? Well, you know, that power. What? No, I don't know. Who is this God? You can claim to be religious and have a relationship with God and yet have no clue who he is. We see this in this passage. They have Jesus face to face and they cannot see, but we'll get to that in a moment. See, they knew that Jesus was declaring who he was. He was declaring to be God. And notice at this point, right? Jesus, if he is lying at this point, he is guilty of a capital offense, punishable by death. It's blasphemy. There are still blasphemy laws in this world today in other nations. There are people who go to court and get arrested and are in jail for blaspheming the name of God. And Jesus, if he's not who he says he is, he is guilty dead to rights right here. He is claiming to be God. But notice what happens when John points out to us. John makes sure that we know that they did not seek to kill him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. Not until the time is right will Jesus lay his life down and pick it up. Okay, so first, Jesus is the light of the world because of his relationship with the Father. That was in verse 20, by the way. The testimony of Jesus not being killed because his time had not yet come. But second, Jesus is the light of the world because of his place of origin. In verses 21 and 23, Jesus declares, "I am from above, you are from below." Jesus is not of the world. Though he came into the world, he is not of the world. He is of a place of origin that is of a divine nature. He is from heaven. And I'm going to use some words here that I might need to explain. Jesus is simultaneously immanent and transcendent. He is immanent with us in that he came down from heaven. He's immanent in that if you are a Christian, he indwells you now. But he is not only immanent. He is God. He is transcendent. He is above us. By his very nature, he rules and reigns. We are not God. We are not like God. No, we are made to reflect. We are a created being. He is the creator. To be sure, he condescended. He came down to our stature to ransom us. But he is still transcendent. Jesus is the light of the world because of his place of origin. And then lastly, Jesus is the light of the world because of who he is. Jesus is the light of the world because of who he is. Verses 24 and 28, we see Jesus say, "I am. I am." Verses 24 and 28, Jesus says, "I am." Our English translations add the word "he." I am he. That's not in the original language. In the original language, Jesus simply declares, "I am. I am." If you remember 2 weeks ago, that is how we opened this series. I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus is not saying that just one time and letting it go. He stays on that. He declares himself to be before the foundation of the world. Jesus is. So Jesus is the light because he is. I'm going to point this out to you in verses 24 and 28. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And then 28. Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father has taught me." Jesus is. Okay, so now if Jesus is the great I am, there are two closing thoughts I want to leave with you today. One, because Jesus is God, he is the I am. He has authority to judge with the weight of eternal punishment in hell. Because Jesus is the I am, he has the authority to judge with the eternal weight of hell. Let that sit for a minute. We don't hear that too often. Look at verse 21, right back where we were. I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus judges with the weight of eternal punishment. That is not popular, but it is true. Just above here, you heard the phrase. Jesus says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one according to the flesh. It's called an ellipsis. And then he goes on to say, if you do not believe, you will die in your sins. Jesus has the authority to judge with the weight of eternal punishment. John 1, 10 through 11. John 1, 10 through 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He, Jesus, came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. To fail to receive Jesus is to sign your check for eternal punishment. This is what's at stake, ladies and gentlemen. But there's hope. There is hope. Repent and live. Jesus, because he is the great I am, he has the authority to offer eternal hope. So there's judgment and there's hope. I don't know that there's one time in the Bible where hope and judgment are not put right directly in parallel. We just tend to ignore the judgment part because we don't like that. But when God gives the judgment, he extends the hand of hope. So it's two sides of one coin. That God is love is that he will judge accurately the righteous and the wicked. But because Jesus is the I am, he has the authority to offer eternal hope. In verse 24, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Which is to say, if you believe that I am, you will not die in your sins. And then third, because Jesus is who he says he is, he can make atonement for your sin. Jesus can atone for your sin. Every one of them washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. That is, all your sin, past, present, and future, will be wiped clean if you are in him. That's a little bit scandalous. That this perfect Jesus, the Lamb of God, would come down without spot or blemish and atone for, to make right with God, wicked, depraved sinners like me and like you. But that's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus does not come down and say, well, you're awesome. He comes down and says, you're not awesome, but I got you. You're not okay, but I will heal you. That's one of the greatest obstacles to the gospel, is we want to think we're okay, when what we need to do is cry out to God and say, I'm not okay. This is not good. And I cannot do it on my own. Help. You want to know repentance in one word? God, help. Not God, fix. Not God, make this better. Not God, just heal my sore toe. But God, help. There's no way I can transcend this space, this gap between me and you. It's too far. It's too wide. It's too dark. But he can come down and close the gap, and he did. Verse 28, and then we're done. So Jesus said to them, when you have seen the Son of Man lifted up, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. This idea of the Son being lifted up is that day on Calvary when they would stretch his arms out and nail his hands to the cross and his feet And he would cry out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Even on the cross, he showed mercy to his persecutors. And he does that to you and me today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God has been read, it has been preached, and it has been sung today. In this verse, we see that many believed in him. And because of what this text says, we can know that the moment they believed in Jesus, they went from darkness to light, from death to life. And the same can be true for you today. Repent and believe that Jesus is who he says he is. This is my prayer for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, what joy it is to have your word of life and light. Who are we, O Lord, that you would come down and take on flesh, to come down from your throne and become like us in every way except without sin? Lord, this is amazing. Let us believe. Make our hearts believe, Lord. We cannot just make a decision. We need a new birth. We need a new heart. So, Lord, take out our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh in its place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.